listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, when I was small, they used to tease me because my hair was peasy, hard and greasy. But now I'm living well like George and Wheezy. So easy, does it? Is it because I'm rocking beats, beats, beats? Fu Manchu, because I'm doing what just had to be done. Now we in there like swimmer girls calling me hun. Give me hugs, little pecks, mucho tongue, lots of sex. Enough respect to my bros that live at 5-6th Street, right? I smash a monster, mash a boom, bashing in the fashion, which is wild. Now I smile when I whiplash them seas with my style. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on Saturday, which as always means it's feedback time. The feedback show is when you guys write us in to let you know what you thought about the shows for the weeks, the topics for the weeks, our guests, our like everything, the recaps. You guys just let us know, and you can do it either by going to theblackouttips.com, leaving comments and votes in the polls and things like this. You can also email us theblackouttips@gmail.com. And you can leave voicemails on the voicemail line. As long as they're 3 minutes or less, we'll play them on the show. And I believe we got one this week too, so that's good. And of course, we got two this week. All right. At any rate, you can leave voicemails for the show, a bunch of stuff, man. And we also read 5-star reviews, right? As long as we like them. So if you leave 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher and we like them, we will read them on the air. That's a promise to you. That's a guarantee. And we got a couple of those this week as well. Of course, the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 542 that Bobby Schmurder's been locked up in jail. Time keeps on ticking. And of course, some people donated to the show, and we can't let that go by without, you know, giving you guys your shout outs. Let me see what song. Where's my song at? Oh, here we go.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Shout out to recession, depression, and unemployment. How y'all doing in the audience? Tyvon hit us with the recurring donation. Thank you very much, Tyvon S.
Yes.
My brother Rodney hit us with the recurring donation. We just saw him at my niece's graduation this week.
Yes, we did.
Autumn W, recurring donation. Thank you very much. Damian Jackson, woo,
I am for real.
Recurring donator. Joy M, recurring donator. Shantae B.
Oh, that's new, ain't it?
I feel like Shantae's been around before.
Okay.
We got this is an anonymous donation, one-time donation. Thank you very much. I think they told me to say anonymous, and they sent us a message, too. We'll get to that in the emails.
Thank you, anonymous.
Yeah, Vicky sends a recurring donation. Thank you very much, Vicky. Mm-hmm. Kimberly J, recurring donation. Pamela A. B., recurring donation.
Hey.
I know I might pronounce this wrong, but we're going to go with Ejioma.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually pretty good. I might have got that right. Linwood C, recurring donation. Noel W, recurring donation. And that's everybody. Thank you so much for hooking us up this week. Recession, depression, unemployment. Play me out.
Today's a new day. But there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day.
Tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that
it's weird that I memorized that fucking song, right? Because I don't really listen to any gospel music. But
we play it all the
time. I know that shit. I heard that coming on somewhere the other day. I was somewhere else. I was like, what?
I know that one.
I think I was in like a grocery store. I was like, today's a new day. I don't know if he was like, what is he talking about?
I ain't getting crunk at the grocery store.
Right. People going to start inviting me to their church. Getting polite declines. I don't even know, such a random song we picked too. I don't even know why we picked that song.
I have no idea either.
I think I just put Kirk Franklin, was like, this seemed like something good.
And it stuck.
Yeah, it is a good song though. At any rate, 5-star reviews on iTunes. We got a couple of them. Let's see. And like, if you're not in the United States, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
We can't read the review unless you tell us it's from somewhere outside the United States. We don't see those.
Mm-mm, just include Canada and Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Mwangangi writes in, I hope I pronounced that right, Mwangangi. Mwangangi, there you go. All right, thanks, 5 stars. I found y'all via TWIB guest appearance. I thought to myself that I should listen to his podcast, but I got distracted and it didn't happen. Then I started listening to the Insanity Report family of podcasts, and you got mentioned again and finally got around to listening. A couple of months of regular listening later, and I got y'all in the rotation. Stop here if you want to be brief. Nah, nigga, we good. This y'all show. Mm-hmm. You and Karen were wondering why y'all so popular with fans of other shows. I can't speak for anyone except for me, but the way I see it, my home show is Twitter Prime, and those are my home friends. Insanity Report is my school show, and those are my school friends. And y'all are my G Mama's house, and y'all are my cousins and those friends. First two shows are about things you, or at least I, overtly pursue, like politics and nerdery, whereas your show is like family, and you don't overly pursue family, you just are family. Oh, and better than just regular default family, y'all are the cousins I ran with when I got sent down south, expat New Yorker living in the South San Francisco Bay Area for the summer. Hey man, we'll be that, dog. I appreciate it. You know, we always have you know, people come through and show love like that, but we appreciate you.
We do.
You know, we'll be those cousins from the South that you know, taught you about you know, how to make milkshakes out of milk and sugar in the middle of the night.
Right.
Consistent and funny, Miss Shalitha says, I enjoy this podcast so much. I listen to this while I'm at work, at home, and in the car. The Guess the Race comments have me crying laughing. I enjoy listening to the Walking Dead recap so much that I binge watched to see what the hype was. Now I can't wait for the new season. It appears I'm going to do the same with Game of Thrones. Keep doing what you are doing. This show is a mixture of the news, politics, ratchetness, and black love. Thumbs up and tens across the board. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So, yeah, man, if you're outside the U.S., let us know, because we can't see that shit. So, but we will definitely read it if it's 5 stars and we like it. Let's go to the page. We have comments on the page. We recapped. We did an off-season review for Underground Season 1. Mm-hmm. Karen finally watched it. It was actually kind of a longish review, but that's because the first 20 minutes we just talked about, you know, slavery as entertainment and how we feel about it in general and what our attitudes were coming into this. Mm-hmm. And I think that conversation alone was a good conversation because, you know, me and Karen kind of came at it from different sides of the coin, but we both enjoyed the show.
Yes.
So, you know, and we'll both be there for season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymous says, I enjoyed your podcast review and the show. There's never been a show like this on TV, and it absolutely works. I'm looking forward to next season. I love that. I love the unexpected twist.
Me too.
Me too, man. That ending is like, that's how you do a finale.
Right.
That cliffhanger. I said, I'll be back.
You got me.
You got me. You got me. All right. 1216. We had episode 1216. This is the one where we drove all the way back from DC to Charlotte. And we said we need to record this shit right away.
Yeah, cause
before we fall asleep.
Right, because I was like, hey, we start relaxing, buddy. There ain't no show, so let's do it now.
So we did it, and the episode was called, because we did the feedback, but then we also talked about our trip to AwesomeCon in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And meeting up with our fans, which is cool. And it's called Excuse Me, Young. we got a couple comments. Hiroja Sheev says, hearing Rod's story about thinking of using DC slang to get driving directions to the hotel reminded me of the time my parents got lost on the way to the National Zoo in DC. I mean, we got way lost in DC. Finally, my dad pulled over to look at a map. No GPS or Google Maps back then. The mom just looked at him like he was crazy because he was just so lost and confused looking at this map. Then my mom saw a very nice lady dressed crossing the street in front of us and rolls down a window, waves her down, and asks, how do I get to the zoo? At first, a very nice lady was breaking out the shorthand DC slang. Saw the look on my mom's face, clears her throat, and code switched to give us directions. We got to the zoo. Turns out we actually were not that far from the place. But I now know as an adult that very nice lady was a hooker. Thank God. Thank God, very nice lady hooker helped us out, because I know my dad, he would say, fuck it, it drove us back home, and we would not have gone to the zoo. Yeah. Hey, man, prostitutes, man, they out here helping the world.
I'm trying to tell you, they know their way around. A dick in the city.
Tip your prostitutes, guys.
Mm-hmm.
EVE says, I really enjoyed myself at AwesomeCon. Yeah, we got to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
We attended several panels, but by far the nostalgia panel you guys were on was my favorite. I couldn't stop laughing. It was a pleasure meeting the two of you, and I wish I could have hung out longer, but maybe next year. I hope you guys enjoyed the cookies, and Karen, I hope you enjoyed the hair and the body butter.
I do.
Mm-hmm. That's who gave it to you. Man, listen, we got so much stuff from different people. I'm like, I don't know who cookies these is. I'm just eating them.
Right.
So thank you for the cookies. Y'all. I don't even know if I worked myself to the cookies yet, honestly, because we had Tim Tams, cake, pies, like
stuffed animals.
It looks like we trying to capture Hansel and Gretel in this house.
Yes, it does.
Anyway, I can't wait for AwesomeCon next year, and if you guys really do NiggaCon, I'm there for that too. Love you guys. But it was a thread in the Facebook group.
Oh, that there was fucking hilarious.
That Marissa started about NiggaCon. It was so good.
And see, this is why we got the group, because I was like, oh, okay, y'all got the same sense of humor we had, because I didn't comment, but I read and I was dying laughing. I was like, oh, that would be a fucking good ass panel.
That thread got like 200 or something replies the last time I checked. It's probably more now, but
yeah,
it was just all
was the best
potential panel. The one thing I realized about NiggaCon, this is way after when I was reading everybody what they want their panels to be, I was like, fuck, man, somebody gonna get shot at NiggaCon. Damn. Because you know that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
And they're gonna blame it all on us.
Yeah.
It of course.
It has to be a gun-free zone.
Yeah, we can't have no violence at NiggaCon, because it's like they do the CIAA tournament.
Mm-mm.
Like, one person gets shot in the 10 years that they had the CIAA tournament, and it's like, those niggers.
Right.
Of course they shot each other. Did you have a good time at AwesomeCon? I didn't go. Yes and no. 91% of my audience didn't go.
Yeah,
which,
so.
I mean, makes sense, because, I mean, can you imagine if our entire audience showed up? Shit.
Yeah, that would be a lot of people. So that's why me and Roger talked about it. And so we gonna make it, might be a slow process, but we gonna try to make come to y'all to be easier.
Yeah,
we'll travel.
And 9% said yes, they did go and they had a good time. 0% went and had a bad time, and that's what I'm talking about. That's really the number that's important.
Yeah, and one thing me and Roger talked about our audience and interacting with our audience, we want the cool people. We don't need to have the biggest audience. We just mm-hmm. want the cool people, because everybody came out and everybody had a good time. It was mixture. It wasn't the sausage fest, you know, and it was women and men, and everybody felt comfortable, and everybody hung out, and everybody interacted, and it was just a very, very fun and happy and loving environment. And that's one thing that kind of made me and Roger very proud, because it was like, this, y'all guys are a reflection of us. And it's one of those things we go, this is basically a perfect event for us. Everybody comes out, everybody has a good time, everybody hangs, everybody meet each other. We even have people talking about other podcasts that wasn't there. Some people said they met each other on Project Fandom Group. I even told, I told Wanga on Twitter, but I'm gonna say it here. I told Wanga that my niece said thank you. We took her the kangaroo that he bought, stuffed kangaroo that he bought all the way from Australia. I got the koala bear. And I said, did your grandma tell you? Because she had already had it. I said, did your grandma tell you this came from all the way from Australia? She said it did. I said, yeah. And I showed her a picture of you, Wanga. And she said, oh, she said, tell him I said thank you. I said, I will. So I know I told you on Twitter, but I want to tell you, Wanga. Layla said thank you. I was had her cracking up. I said, he flew like 23 hours away. And I said, he in the future. Because it's tomorrow there.
Yeah, that was cool, man. We really do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we hung out with her for graduation, so it was fun. We'll probably talk about it tomorrow, maybe.
Yep.
All right, so then we had episode 1217, Anus Avenue. And Miss Smart wrote in, fun fact about Depends. They are not only worn by older people, some women wear them if they have heavy menstrual cycles. They don't specifically market them to women, but for that purpose, but the company knows younger women are using them.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought about that.
I heard people use them after birth, giving birth too.
Yeah, I could understand that. Yeah, because mm-hmm. you're not trying to find out how they would like the afterbirth and things like that. So that completely makes sense. Yes.
Mr. Knight says, I hope no one out there is reproducing with hating ass Terrell Jones. I hope that the pregnant lady kicker gets I hope they throw the pregnant lady kicker under the jail.
Me too.
Was a guy in Florida that kicked the woman that was giving birth and then like fought her boyfriend
mm-hmm.
and he was her ex. Janina says, Karen, you had me dying talking about we sell radios and shacks. I almost crashed my car laughing so hard. Rod, they have boarded up all the radio shacks here. I'm surprised you still have them in Charlotte. Just one that I know of.
Yeah, just one.
Love you guys. If it weren't for you, my imaginary friends, most days would be very lonely and uneventful. So glad I found this podcast. Hey, we glad you listen. Thank you, Janina. And the poll was a simple poll, and got one comment. It was, does it make an artist less woke if they're a capitalist? You know, because I didn't really understand this complaint, and I'm kind of getting tired of it, so I'm just not paying attention to it anymore. Because until someone provides some alternative to how the fucking artist is supposed to have this great impact and not be a capitalist in America, I don't know how that works. Does it make an artist less woke if they're a capitalist? Yes, 4%. No, 81%. And I don't know, 15%. AO says, I absolutely agree with your comments about our expectations for artists and how at once they need to be a social justice warrior and martyrs who cannot commoditize their craft. I work in a nonprofit education, and I get really upset when I hear critiques about the salaries of principals and administrators in school networks who are trying to attract top talent by offering an attractive salary. As if the salaries are astronomical to start with, the idea that you should be poor in order to do good work is ridiculous.
Right, because nobody else wants to do that in their fucking job. You go to your job, they're like, you know, we're going to pay you the same thing we paid the minimum wage workers at McDonald's, because, you know, you ought to be happy and just come here and do your job. You're going to say, fuck no. Use goddamn common sense, people.
With respect to the artists, the expectations are unattainable, and we, especially as black people, can't add to their burden of advocating for change by also attacking them for making a living. Trying to spite the man at the expense of your own well-being is foolish. Ayo, I agree with that. So it just seems like a ridiculous statement.
Did you read the poll?
Yeah, didn't I? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, it was No was 81.25%. Okay. No, I don't know, was 15%. Yeah, I did read it, and yes was 4%. So yeah, I did read the poll.
Okay.
Oh well, they got it twice. We had episode Twick this week in Conan.
I think a lot of people like that.
That was episode 12, 18, where we discuss NiggaCon.
That was a blackhead show, wasn't it?
It was a silly show. We silly. At any rate, we had a couple of comments on episode 12, 18, Twick. I used a picture of George Bush putting his hand on this black dude's head. It was good. Mr. Knight says, Karen, I hope you find the Uncle Ruckus podcast cooning it up.
Uh-huh.
So we can give them a 1-star reviews. Lil Mo says, speaking of the whole Bad Boy reunion thing, we talked about that, how mm-hmm. some of those acts wanted to go on tour Bad Boy, and we were like, well, y'all really that big a deal?
Right.
It must be a generational thing. I'm 22. Everyone who wasn't invited used to be in heavy rotation among all my peoples in middle school and the first 2 years of high school. B5 was kind of like our B2K, the group of Marion came from. B5. I don't even remember them being mad. I don't even remember them from the article, let alone their music. Daddy Kane and Day 26 had some cuts. Day 26 co-star has made it to every phone I've had since it came out. To be honest, that's the reason I didn't want to go to the Bad Boy tour. All of those artists were the ones I remember from Bad Boy besides Mace, Diddy, and 112. I didn't even know Mary was on Bad Boy. What? Oh, I'm so
that's
old.
How she started. Yeah, that's how she started. She broke off because she was like, you ain't giving me enough attention. But yeah, Mary came on the scene on Bad Boys.
Yeah, didn't it? She had the
like
real
her first
love.
Two albums was strictly Bad Boys, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she had that real love.
What's the 411?
What's the 411?
Yeah, her first album was Flames.
Mm-hmm. That was my shit, dog. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Bad Boys.
I can't believe.
We old, dog.
Yeah, of course, I don't want to do anything. That was my jam. If loving you was all
yes!
that I had to do.
I don't want to do anything else.
That's before we knew Casey destroyed her life.
Right.
I don't want to do nothing but this rock.
And treat you bad, girl. Ooh, yeah.
And you know, passing that malt liquor. But yeah, I didn't even know Mary was on Bad Boy. I just thought she liked to sing on Bad Boy tracks, crying laughing emoji. Super long comment, but yeah, I think it's a generational thing. Yo, it might be Lil Mo. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not, dog. I just know when I read the list of niggas that wanted to go, I was like, it's no way y'all sold as much as the people that was going. Like, none of them acts sold as much as Mace, Lil Kim, you know, even Diddy, 112. There's no way they sold as much as those guys.
Yeah, and like she said, it's probably a generational thing. Honestly, the whole Bad Boy tour, I'm not trying to be funny, it's targeted towards our age, like them 30 folks and up. Mm-hmm. Like so you might be a little younger than us, and they was like, well, these folks in their 30s and 40s was not listening to this shit. So, like, they to them, it wasn't even worth the time.
The poll for this episode was, did the RNC let black Republicans down? Yes, no, or... That's the third choice. 2% said yes. 2% said no, they didn't let them down. And 96% of our audience said... AO says, fucking with Filipinos, 100%. I agree with Karen. If this fuckery is happening to Filipinos, then it's probably, nay, absolutely happening to us. Shit.
Come on, dog.
Oh, yeah, that was that trick one I gave you. I can't remember what article that was.
Mm-hmm. I treat all brown people in the same group.
But like, so do racists.
Right, so I don't care if your brown is barely on the grill or your brown is well done. You brown.
Mm-hmm. Episode 1219, The Black China of Westeros, where we had Mel of The Good and Terrible Show to recap Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about that racism, too. You know, we had to start with that racism.
Of course.
Shit is still going on. Che writes saying, hey, Karen and Rod, thanks for the recaps. Brilliant. Always funny and tell, and Mel had me rolling. Quick note from one of the recap emails. I doubt an ice dragon is possible because they are born of fire. Everything about them is the exact opposite of a White Walker. Ice Hodor and summer are coming, but an ice dragon, no way. hold up. I'm not doubting your logic. I just think it's funny because it's all made up.
And they're like, no, this right here in this fairy tale made up world is goddamn impossible. No, this cannot. I feel you, dog. I'm like that too about some things. No, this cannot happen. Roger, your logic is dumb.
I didn't come up with this. Someone emailed this in and I just went, I guess it would be like, what the fuck do I know? It's all made up. G.R.R. Martin made this shit up years ago, possibly, or probably tomorrow, knowing him. Who fucking knows, man? He might just wake up on a Tuesday and be like, you know what? Ice Dragon. That'll be cool. I don't know. So
we all gonna be here to watch. We all gonna be surprised, baby.
You say you don't think it's possible. I say I don't fucking know what the fuck is possible in this man's mind.
Anything is possible.
Right. What I do know is, well, no matter what, the dragon will treat women like shit. Okay. That's consistent. That is consistent with all his characters.
That's consistent in the real world and the fairy tale world.
He will pop up and be like, I'm a rapist and a dragon now.
Take these flames.
And I'm an ice walker.
Right.
Thank you both for your amazing work. I don't know how I get ready to work, commuted, ran errands, or clean without you. Keep up the fantastic work. Love y'all like play cousins. Thank you.
Oh,
and also, mwah.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Mark G says, Adam and Eve need to create a gold Jamie Lannister clip bumper fist mode. You can also smack fools in the face with it. I'm ready for Jamie to die, though. He outlived this shelf life quickly after he lost his hand. It's a miracle he's still alive. Yeah, that's what Mel was saying. I mean, if you think about it, like, he lost that. He got captured and lost that hand. He had a good run. You know what I mean? You guys are awesome as usual, and it's always a pleasure to hear Miss Jackson on TVGWT.
Mm-hmm. We love us some Miss Jackson.
Ooh. Hiroja Sheeb says, now that Lady Olena has left the building, that means Cersei is in King's Landing unsupervised. Her father's dead. Her uncle has no control over her. Tommen is weak and Jaime is gone. Cersei is that kid. You know, if you so much as stop looking at them, they will set the house on fire. Oh, yeah. She would end up in a gorilla cage.
Yeah, she would be in the pit.
Which makes me think that damn prophecy that predicts all her children dying before her, a young queen usurping her and then dying, this could be it for Cersei, which means things are going to be very exciting these last three episodes of King's Landing. And finally, Rob might get those deaths he's been fiending for these last couple of eps. I wonder how Tommen would feel if, oh wait, no. I was like, I wonder how Tommen would feel if Cersei dies, but he gonna die first, so it won't matter.
Who knows? That's the way to, that's the way it's going, but we will see.
Hey, that prophecy 2 for 2, dog. I'm fucking with the prophecy. till proven wrong.
I know, his poor innocent self. Yeah. Gonna die for some pussy.
Prof Wilson indeed said, Nola guest in the building, quite happy. Thank you. Natasha says, this is my favorite recap thus far. I don't even have the words, but I love it, and I love you guys. Yeah, we got quite a few, like, this is my favorite. I love this one. I was like, you know, we were doing really good on these recaps this year, man. All the guests we've had, people written in, like, this was the best one. You know, like, different people had, like, different people, man. So that's cool, man. We've had a broad range of people that come on and discuss Game of Thrones. Ray says, hey Rod and Karen, I love this recap of this show. Karen, you got them jokes off like your life depended on it, and I was here for every single one of them. That's what I'm talking about. I'm a little worried on how Cersei is going to gain back control. I don't think it'll just be as simple as to kill the High Sparrow and his squad.
Nope.
Only because the masses have been influenced. If he dies, the peasants could riot and you really can't stop them.
Mm-mm.
Maybe. I mean, do the peasants really fuck with him like that? I know they got the Faith Militant, but they haven't really shown, like, that he's cleaned up these streets. Like, he took away all the prostitution. He took away all the wine in the streets. Like, I bet you most people don't fuck with him, dog. I bet you his following it's not even close to what y'all think. Mm. Like, they can't wait to get back to fucking and drinking.
That would make sense, too.
Yeah, they came in. That was their introduction to King's Landing, was like, fuck up all the prostitutes. Pour all the wine down the streets. Like, I know people like, man, fuck it. Damn, I hate this dude.
Oh, where he come from?
Cause somebody killed. I'd rather those people mad they didn't kill him. Yeah. They was about to have that. It's like, no, do it, Jamie. The only person I was rooting for is Arya, but now I just had to sit back and watch my favorite character get stabbed and tortured. From the looks of it, the waif is going to torture Arya for a bit. Kind of like when you fuck up and your mom says she'll talk to you in a bit and she just has you waiting in your room. I don't think Arya's going to make it out of the show alive, but damn it, she just had to suck it up and live through a couple more seasons. I need to see the Starks have a family reunion. I know I shouldn't be Team Stark. You know you should. You know you should. You know for a fact that's going to end bad. But I need to see the Starks have a glow up moment. I hope they bring older Ned, actor Sean Bean back in the flashbacks Bran is having. One more thing. I'm guessing y'all are sucking on them some boobies and sleeping with that whore was her sexuality revealed. I hope so, because I'm here for it. I've been waiting for an awesome lesbian character who was in the main cast. I just hope they don't turn it into a fetish. What I don't want is that every time y'all's sexuality is brought up, it's because she's fucking some whore or Danny. I just want it to be genuine and realistic to what being gay is, not so people can see two women fucking on screen at all times. Hey man, that is a lot to want from this show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Ray.
They like titties, so
good luck. The people on this show have not shown that kind of sensitivity towards sexuality at any point. They still don't think that Cersei Jaime scene was a rape. Like, I don't know. This is not the show for that. These niggas about to be like, she got some more titties in her mouth. Isn't that funny? Now have Master Pycelle fart again. Love that.
Fucking jingle away.
Sorry if this is long. I don't usually write in, but between y'all maybe being gay and Arya getting the shit stabbed out of her, I just won't have to get my opinions. P.S. Shout out to Stir Sterling, Quita, my sister, a.k.a. the worst child in the family, Monique and Charles. They got me listening to y'all, and I never turned back. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Gaspod. Oh,
thank you. We got to see them.
Mm-hmm. Drink my coffee out of Gaspod mug all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Amani says, hey Rod and Karen, Rod, you've been saying you gotten addicted to seeing somebody die, and it hit me, you're the hound. Me? I don't even call women cunts. The show tried to talk about a different path and convince you there's an alternative, and for 2 weeks things are cool, but at the end of the day it's time to pick up that axe and handle business, and I have a feeling next week's gonna get you back. Hey, I hope so. You know, it's not like I hate the show or nothing. It's just, you know, I think I'm addicted to somebody getting killed every week. If when niggas keep living, it's like it's turned into the Walking Dead for me. I'm just like, so ain't nobody gonna get killed for real. Y'all just gonna some bullshit.
Oh, so you one of them people to watch the show now?
I think so, man. I feel bad because I don't want to be that kind of person, but damn, it don't matter how good and cinematic and like how much the plot makes sense. I'll be like, but somebody should have got stabbed though. Like, you couldn't have cut somebody's head off this week.
Ain't no White Walkers. What are White Walkers at the kid, folks? Fuck up, right. Folks.
Arya X tried to lead the Nation of Islam, and now she's looking around Bravos like that Mr. Krabs meme.
Oh, them circles going around his head.
I have a feeling
they was like, you will not leave this place.
I have a feeling she might get saved by that actress, but she better stop acting so naive and get revenge with Needle. Meanwhile, I'm hoping Yara and her crew run into my nigga pirate Salador. Oh yeah, I love the nigga pirate. That nigga, we haven't seen him in so long. We need more black people on here. We gonna find out if he's really from House Jackson and they got the deadliest navy in Westeros. Nah, niggas can't swim. And the one thing I really want to see is Jaime finally fight this season. He's been on one all year talking shit to everybody, but when he was in Dorne, his ass could barely hold that sword with his left hand. Yep, he had to cheat to win. I don't know if he has a death wish or if he's just been practicing since they killed his daughter, but something is up. Blackfish Bar is going to get him off to his game. Great show as always, though, and so good having Mel back on. Oh, mm-hmm. You know we love Mel, dog.
We do.
EVE says, can I just say I love it when you have Mel on the recap of Game of Thrones? Everybody love Mel. That's what's up, man. Fuck yes. I love all your guests, but I swear every time she's on, my sides end up hurting from laughing so hard. She's so good. Mm-hmm. And the poll was a simple one. Is Arya going to die next week? Yes or no? 86% of y'all said no, and 14% say yes.
Maybe not next week, but I think she may die for the end of the season.
Some interesting results. Yeah, Arya's in a bad way, though, because everybody act like getting Shank, you can walk it out. They're like, well, she just need to get Needle. And I'm like, she can't fight with Shank wounds, nigga.
No, I think it's going to be something where they're going to fuck around and barely tell us and not even cover her storyline. You know, not trying to be funny. That's why I said she possibly might be next week or, you know, near the season finale.
That's a good point, Karen. Didn't think about that. EVE says, I think Arya has a plan with the return of so many characters we forgot about. I bet she'll meet up with Gendry. Gendry, Nemea, and Hot Pot and start fucking shit up. Well, if not, a girl can dream. Also, a girl can die.
Yeah, because I really think, and I might be wrong, but I think next week gonna be about that hound.
Oh, yeah, he gonna definitely be fucking some people
right,
up.
I'm not saying he gonna be the whole thing, but I think he gonna be a good little portion, because I can't see them ending with, they might, you know, because Walking Dead, fuck you, but couldn't see them ending with him picking up that axe and everybody go, ooh, and then you go, know what? We're going to wait till the season finale. The possibility that they could do that.
In all fairness, they have covered a lot of different locations this year and different episodes. So, I mean, I could see it going a lot of ways, honestly.
Right.
You know, like, they might cover Arya and the Hound and a bunch of shit, because
that's
just
true too.
Skip around so much lately, you know. Feels like we be going to 5, 6, 7 locations every episode these days.
Right. We haven't had an episode in a while where they stick at one location.
Yeah, and not since
The Wall, right?
Right, not since The Wall. That's the last time
I can
remember.
The Wall and Hardhome.
Hardhome was mostly, Hardhome and The Wall were the last ones I remember.
Yeah, where the whole episode was one spot. Yeah.
So, at any rate, they need to get back to killing some people.
I think they will.
You know, they've been killing around the edges with this Hodor shit and killing Shay. I want somebody that's going to hurt to die.
Oh, I think we will. Somebody going to die.
I don't want no comebacks either. Kill they ass.
We going to do voicemails?
Yeah, we got a couple voicemails. Let me play those.
Hey, what up? It's Sterling. Just wanted to say, because I was going to leave this voicemail for you about now. I didn't know you niggas were going to, like, go extra hard in the paint and give us a feedback show on Sunday because you love us that much. But I had feedback for y'all niggas that I meant to leave for a minute. First off, you know, happy seeing y'all. Happy doing the panel with y'all. The shit was fucking amazing.
Bro.
The meetup after was insane. I had no clue the bottom of Consultia was like that. I'm way too introverted for that shit. I just wanted to go home and take a nap for like 3 days after that shit, man. But it was crazy seeing y'all. Love talking to Karen. Rod, he was over there being too famous for niggas. Meeting both of y'all and shit. I wanted to say, though, I didn't get to say it last time. Because y'all had JL on the show, I am going to his taping for his next album and shit, because, you know, we support each other out here, and that shit's only like 90 minutes away, so I'm gonna fuck with him, and I'm gonna go see Chris Lambert like in 2 weeks, and set the comics in like a month, because I fuck with everybody y'all fuck with, because we all fuck with each other, shit lit. So I want to say thanks for having that nigga on the show. That way I knew that the joint was close to me. I thought it was like in upstate New York, so I wasn't even gonna try it, but it's in Long Island, that's doable. So we're gonna get out there, we're gonna see, it's gonna be dope. And I think that's it, right? Yeah, that's it. Bye, niggas.
Oh man, that's dope, man. Mm-hmm. And Chris Lambert's opening up for JL that night too. Mm-hmm. So you get a double dose of funny dudes that come on the show all the time.
All them dudes is real funny. If you ever get a chance to see any of them dudes, please go see them. We haven't seen the Decepticons, but we've seen JL and Chris Lambert. They are hilarious live.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I always hear good things about Decepticons.
Me too. When they get to perform.
But I heard if they don't get to perform, you get a good party. So.
A real good party.
All right, last voicemail.
Hey, Ron and Karen, this is Jada. I was calling just to comment about the young lady who got backlash for being valedictorian in her school. I actually had a similar experience, although it wasn't on social media. Luckily, my parents and my family like protected me from this, but during our senior year, like, you know, they post the grades, I guess, after the first half of the year, so you can know who's, like, in the ranking. And so apparently when those got posted, I was number one, and apparently there was a lot of backlash from parents. Like, people literally called it up to the counselor's office to do a recalculation, and they even tried to say that it was unfair that I was number one because I had an extra honors class that I was able to take, because what happened was, in order to fit my schedule so I could take as many AP or honors classes as I wanted to, and so I could still be in band and cheerleading, I took junior history my sophomore year. So then while the rest of my classmates took sophomore history. So then the next year, actually, the sophomore history had an AP honors, an AP history class that was offered than when I took it in my junior year. So then they were trying to say that was unfair because I was able to take an extra AP class. And then my counselor had to throw it back on them and be like, well, even without that extra AP class, she's still number one. So, you know, now what? But yeah, I was, of course, I'm black, and the girl who was salutatorian was a white girl, and she also kind of had the sympathy vote too, because she also was a cancer survivor. I was very grateful that my parents like kept that from me until after graduation, because I already had so much pressure on myself. And
right,
of course, I mean, going black and growing up in Mississippi, like, I mean, I knew that racism exists, of course, but it was just so like jarring. I remember as a kid to be like, wow, you know, like, I know that I've worked so hard, you know, and like accomplished this, and like, I'm sorry, I freaking deserve these having tour, you know. And if it's somebody to doubt it and want to take it from me, like, just because of what I look like, you know, like, that was just like, wow, you know. Of course, this is directly real. So yeah, man, I mean, of course, you guys know this stuff is racism, it's real, and unfortunately, I mean, people even do it to children, so it's very sad. But anyway, guys, love the show, and can't wait to hear your feedback.
Man, look, black achievement, and especially black women achievement,
come on, dog,
is always up to scrutiny. It's always questioned.
Right.
Like,
it's like that black male, it's weird, though, because it's somewhat of a double standard, because, you know, for black males, if you guys achieve, that's okay, you know, because quote-unquote males are supposed to achieve. All jokes aside, you're supposed to excel, because if you're not quote-unquote excelling, you're probably a gangster, you know, you one or the other. But, you know, for black women, you're not supposed to achieve, period. And then when you do achieve, being black, you're challenged anyway, but being a black female, your challenge for being black and your challenge for being a female on top of that. So you kind of, it's a very double-edged sword, and truth be told, and you're not demeaning any level of achievement of black men, but black women literally all jokes aside have to work twice as hard. You know, that's back to the old bullshit thing. You really have to work harder a lot of times to even get recognized for your work and recognized for your accomplishments. And you can come in with all these accomplishments and all these achievements and you will still get looked over for jobs. You will still get looked over for everything you do is questioned and is scrutinized and is torn to pieces. Like, you cannot be smart and you cannot be intelligent enough, and how did you earn this, or did you steal this, or what did you do? And a lot of that is just, a lot of people don't want to admit they're okay with the status quo. Even a lot of black people, in the status quo is white is superior and white is right. That's the status quo, and that's what a lot of that boiled down to. They was like, how dare this nigga, you know, be better than this white girl with cancer? You know, at the end of the day, if you earned it, you earned it, and nobody wants to look at merits like that. But you know, the reality is that you earned it. And the thing is, particularly being brown people, everything you do is questioned. Like, you can't just be hardworking at whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, I don't believe in people getting what they deserve. I think deserve is very fucking like arbitrary, but I absolutely do believe in people getting what they earned.
Right.
And you earned through all the measurements of that were set up in the game, you earned your valedictorian status, and no one should be able to take that from you. And you know, it's funny how you taking an extra course was seen as a knock against you, when that is actually more work you had to do. And it wasn't just a regular course, it was an extra you know, course for, you know, academically gifted students, which means it's fucking hard. So you took on a harder course, ace that, and then people are like, well, don't count that. Like, what the fuck, man? Anyway, I'm happy for you. I'm glad you got your valedictorianship, and obviously I'm sad that old girl had cancer or whatever, and I hope she beat it and everything. Mm-hmm. But that ain't got shit to do with you earning your grade and earning your status. So
right. And also, before we move on, something else I want to say, kudos to your parents. A lot of people take parents for granted, good parents, because good parents do what your parents did. It's hard enough to be a child in school, particularly brown children, and you got parents go like, nah, this is some bullshit. I'm gonna fight on my child's behalf. Y'all not gonna cheat my child out of this that she deserves and she earned on her own merit. You're not gonna do this. And you know, they kept that away from you, which was I think the proper thing to do, because it's hard enough and it's stressful. A lot of people, you know, they've been out of school for so long, they don't look at it. Being in school is stressful as fuck. It's stressful for children. Getting ready for graduation, going on to college or whatever you choose, it's very stressful. And you have so many things going on in your life. The last thing that you want to deal with is that bullshit. So it is, I think that they did the best thing from kind of protecting you from that. And good parents, a lot of times, shield children from racism so well. The children are so ignorant to racism, honestly, because their parents shielded them from it. And so that's how you have a lot of these children with these sometimes skewed perspectives, because their parents protected them for something that would have affected them very negatively.
All right, let's get into some emails, y'all. I love you guys for bringing up Reese. Hi, Rod and Karen, you guys are the best. I love, love, love fucking with black people and Guess the Race. You really should copyright these theme songs, because I'm singing them all the time. Nah, mm-hmm. Y'all got it. I ain't even worried about that shit.
Mm-mm.
By the way, I gave y'all 5 stars on Stitcher as why you so white, but with their technical issues, it may not have gotten to you. Yeah, and it says it ain't been updated in a month, and I'm pretty sure we've gotten reviews in that month.
Right.
So my guess is Stitcher's fucked up. So if you leave it on iTunes, we'll just read it there. But
right, until Stitcher
fixes this shit.
Do whatever they doing with their merging, whatever. Right. You know, as simple as soon as we're updated, we'll let you know.
No matter, because I'll keep giving you as many stars as the universe will allow. You are a great testament to what a good, solid marriage can look like, and I appreciate that, because it makes me love on my hubby even more. Also, thank you so very much for talking about Reese. I, too, have her CD, and I wish she would put out another album. Keep up the great work. Someone told me she put out another album
was it
99 or 2009? But they said it was like by under another name or something, and they sent me a link and I already forgot, but I think they said the title of the album was like Black Girls Rock or something like that. So hopefully, you know, I'll do a little more research and see if I can find exactly what they were talking about. Like maybe it was under the, because I'm looking on what do you call it, title, and it doesn't look like they got tracks, but they don't have the album. Or maybe she put it like the hashtag, maybe. I wonder. Anyway, I'll see what I can do, because you know, obviously, if it's some more Reese in the world, I need to find it.
And a lot of y'all fuck with Reese. I almost thought it was a me and you thing. I don't mean no harm, but a lot.
I never meet people in real life that listen to Reese.
Right? You go and I don't mean who that.
Yeah, and I don't mean that pejoratively. I wish I'd be wanting to meet these people, so it's not right. Like, you know. But how I do is just top flight, like everything. Yeah, and they got Refried Mac, which I know is like a cover band she's in, that they do what do you call it, they do like covers of now I can't remember the fucking band that they do covers of, but I didn't want to hear covers. I want to hear, like, you know, her original pieces.
Right.
So at any rate, thank you for writing in. And if I find another album, I'll let you guys know about it. All right. We got Excuse Me Young by Nell, who says, hey, Rod and Karen, listening to this podcast has me about to tear up. I'm disappointed. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Somebody did a link in the chat. You can click on it. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. I'll get to that. Listen to this podcast has me about to tear up, and I'm disappointed that I couldn't make it to AwesomeCon and couldn't get one of Karen's hugs, but I felt so much better knowing y'all were welcomed and loved, and you'll probably be here next year, cross his finger. My fiance, the guy from the A&T that you mentioned, made sure to include me in the festivities by sending me my own special pick of y'all. Oh yeah, I remember him. He was cool people. He mentioned that you were a big fan, and that you hated that you couldn't make it.
Yes.
I can't say enough great things about you guys, and Karen is like the warm auntie / friend I've always wanted. Her rants give me life, right? You always have me cracking up. I have much love for you guys, and I'll get my classic Karen hug someday soon.
Oh, you will. And I did enjoy it. I tell everybody I'm a hugger, and I was hugging everybody. If you were close to me, you got a hug, and I was hugging on other people's behalves and stuff like that, people that couldn't make it. So, yeah. So a lot of my hugs was sent to you through a fellow loved one.
Mm-hmm. And we do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody could make it, you know, and mm-hmm. I think I had no idea it was going to turn into a thing for us in that way. I figured it would be a thing for
we knew we, like,
you know, the nerds and AwesomeCon, and I figured a couple people might show up. Right. I didn't know that many fucking people were going to show up. That was crazy. But you know, at the same time, it was really awesome to get to meet people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Brent writes in, Mambo Sauce. I think it's Mambo Sauce. I think I said Mambo Sauce. Anyway, sup, Young. I listened to the recap of the trip to DC and AwesomeCon. I'm glad you guys enjoyed DC, but I'm blown I didn't get down the pen quarter to chop up the game with you two. My homegirl from college has a business. She sells Mambo Sauce. I'm going to link with her and send you guys a couple of bottles as a thank you. Oh, shit.
Thank you, sweetie.
Do that. I've been on maternity leave the last 3 months. The podcast has been my primary form of entertainment. You have one of the best, and I have to show some love. If you ever come back, I'm definitely showing up. Keep up the good work and be easy. Brent / Hustle Crow. Thank you, Hustle Crow, dog.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, man, send that shit. I'll put it on some wings. I'm trying.
We definitely gonna be back next year. And I know a lot of people was like, I'm mad I missed it. And I know Beyonce was happening. And what was that? Governor's Ball was happening. So it was a lot of other things happening around that weekend. So we'll definitely be back next year, y'all.
Rosalind writes in, a class act. Hi, Rod and Karen. I just wanted to express my admiration for both of you and how you handled the Dim Thrones issue. It breaks my heart to see good people get into it because of the actions of a fool. The fool in this case being the lazy ass journalist who stirred all this up in the first place. Karen, you're absolutely right. We need more editors.
Come on, dog.
While I was reading the hurtful stuff people were posting, especially the ones trying to start a fight among fans between the Black Guy Tibbs and Black Girl Nerds and High Five Starter, I was reminded of a story told on a show I watched on Netflix. An old woman goes to confession. She says, "Father, I've spoken ill of my neighbor and I seek forgiveness." The priest tells her, "Go out and find a chicken and pluck out all the feathers and then go and drop them all around town. This is your penance." So the old woman thanks him and does as he instructed. Sorry, I need to move my mic guard. Can hear my peas popping. Beep bop. Anyway.
Yes!
So the old woman thanks him and does as she's instructed, but it doesn't make her feel any better. So the old woman goes back to the priest and tells him that it didn't make her feel better. The priest says, "Okay, then go back and retrieve all the feathers." The old woman says, "Father, how can I? They've been scattered to the winds." And the priest smiles and says, "Just like your words, what you throw out can never be taken back." That's a good point. All of us have experienced moments when we got in our feelings, lashed out, and said stuff we later regret. It takes a great deal of courage and empathy and sympathy, as Karen often says, to look past the hurt and resolve the problem with mutual respect and love. You guys show so much class. I just wanted to let you know, for what it's worth, it's appreciated. Sincerely, an even bigger fan than before, Roz, a.k.a. Negress Furiosa. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, and I think the people that was trying to start shit, either they only care about one show or they have no respect and don't care about the other shows, or they have no respect for anybody and they just want to see people fight. Cause
right.
I'm not trying to, I really don't want to fight if I don't have to. Mm-mm. That's such a,
it's pointless. It's such a waste of energy, man. Yes.
Everybody didn't start these shows so they would be getting on the microphone and mm-mm. fighting and talking shit about each other. That's not what we was thinking.
So much other shit we could be doing.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, like I said, we hung out with Tom for a little bit and that was cool as fuck.
It was.
You know, so it was just, you know, we talked about everything, man. So it was just a cool experience. And then we took a picture under Bill Cosby's face because Tom is Tom. Okay. But we had to take some pictures under some murals on the side of Vince Chili Bowl. So, you know, it was cool, man. It's a funny dude, man. Cool dude. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that shit's over with. That shit really had me, you know, feeling anxiety and all these negative emotions, and I'm glad that shit's over with, because like I said, I would never try to get over on them, man, because you know, that's like trying to get over on family or something,
right? That's pointless.
Lord, episode 1218. Amber writes in, "Hey y'all, let me just say I'm still loving y'all since the first tune in months ago. Y'all never cease with the perfect commentary, and the Game of Thrones recaps are a treat. The jokes and y'all still lit and southern." I wanted to comment on episode 1218 on part of the show where the KJV Bible, King James Version Bible, and the Old Testament at that was yet again twisted to suit the agenda of a backwards and hateful group. It's sad as a Christian myself to see other racist and hateful Christians, quote unquote, using it in such a way, but not at all surprising. Trans people deserve just as much love and human decency as anybody else. It's pitiful that people don't want to see it that way. I agree. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we down here in the South. So the thing I never try to lose track of is the fact that no matter how many people try to use the Bible for like bigotry and to spread hate and defend it with selections from, you know, scripture and shit, it doesn't really matter, because like I said, I went way more people that were religious in some way and still cool as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're not bad people.
Yeah, like that weren't harboring these resentments. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know how they rationalize it. I don't know how they figure what they do out. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause, when I see people using it for bad and when I see people using it for good, I don't know what the impetus is to use certain things certain ways, right? So there's people that go out and help the homeless and they do this and they do that, but then somehow they rationalize out that it's okay to hate gay people from that, you know, like. And then there's people that, you know, don't fuck with the Bible at all, but they, you know, as far as I'm concerned, are really good people that care about themselves and their communities,
right.
and all these other marginalized groups. Like, so I don't know the rhyme or reason to it, but I just know that in my mind, when I think Christian, I don't just immediately think bad. But you know, we cover what we cover, and so much of what we cover on the show when we talk about LGBTQ folks is people couching hatred in religion. My opinion is that the hatred comes first, and then they figure out a way to rationalize it with the books. Like, I don't think, because of the way people hate and the passion they have, it doesn't seem like it comes from the Bible to me. You know what I'm saying? Because the hate is so strong, but yet it's such a small part of the Bible. You know, it's like, they don't feel that way about fornicators. They don't feel that way about sloth. They don't feel that way about gluttony. It's something, the impetus for it comes from somewhere other than what they learned in that kind of way. And then by learned, I mean what they read in the Bible. Now, they may have learned it through social structure. They may have learned it through peer pressure. I don't know where they learned it exactly to be that fucking intensely bigoted, but they are learning it from somewhere. I just don't, and maybe they did learn it in church, but I just don't think they literally learned it from the Bible. That's my guess. Anyway, she says, enjoy the episode as usual. Y'all about ready to get a new premium member, even though I should have been subbed. Find me selling gators and swishers at my booth at NiggaCon.
Thank you, sweetie.
Coming to the Black and Mild stage.
Oh, yes. Coming to the Crown Royal stage.
Hiroja Shi writes in, Confessions of a Leash Child. Oh, sounds like this could be an entire book.
Yes.
Confessions of a Leash Child. To Karen and Rob, I must confess that I was a leash child. I too am a leash American. the long short of it, my mother pretty much raised all three kids by herself, and since we were so close in age, it was hard for her to corral us together. She was very overwhelmed, and the leash came out. My mother tried every kind, handcuffed to the child and the parent. One failed. One child leashed to another child, to the parent, failed. And harness on the child failed. I won't go into details of the incident that caused my mother not to take. No, that's the best part. No, please do go into detail. That is, I write all this and not?
Because she tried hard and y'all was like, you know, nah, mama, fuck your plans.
All right. I won't go into details of the incident that caused my mother not to take her children to public for 2 years. All I can say is that there's a reason escalators at malls, little off button, are locked up in a protection box, which was something that did not always have at the time in the 80s.
So kids on there hitting them boxes. Shit was sailing.
Y'all stop the escalators. People probably fell
people
all the way
dropping
down.
Dropping shit, falling, tumbling down.
Mm-hmm, like that
Eddie. Shit of tumbling up, depending on what direction they was going in.
Like that Eddie Murphy thing.
Like a slow-mo cartoon. You know what they did. They cleared both sides. I bet you when you hit that shit, both sides stopped working.
Feedback. Wanga writes in. Wanga.
Hey, sweetie.
Good day, Rod and Karen. People forget what they got up to as kids when blaming parents on that gorilla situation. My parents did a good job, but I got four younger brothers and we still have stupid shit happen. Here's just a few examples. I got run over by a car when I was four.
Holy shit.
Well, it is Australia. Next brother fell out of a front window of the house and cut his ear open. Next brother passed out and split his head on the counter as he fell. Next broke his leg jumping on a scooter. And my last brother had his two front teeth knocked out by a swing. So yeah, kids get up to shit from time to time. Exactly. And as for the Awesome Con panel and meetup, it was so much fun meeting both of you, Sterling, Quita, Chris, D-Palm, and Justin. It was also great chatting with other listeners of the shows. The whole night, it just felt like hanging out with longtime friends.
Really did, dog.
That is cool, man. You know, and it was like really cool too, because like, and I'm not saying this as like good for them or good for us, but the group had a mixture of people of different races and gender and all that shit. It wasn't just like a uniform group. Like, I'm not saying, because I don't know every other show, but I imagine some other audiences and I'm like, well, obviously this type of person is the only kind of person that can listen to this, because they fucking talk shit about every other kind of person.
It's all shapes, sizes, and colors with our group.
Right, and I just like that. Yeah, I just thought that was cool as fuck, man. Mm-hmm. Also, explaining to Rod and Sterling how we use words cunt and mate in Australia was funny. Have a good one. Yeah, I was like, yeah, just don't tell that to no one else. That's not gonna work here. He's like, yeah, it's weird that y'all get mad over cunt, man, because we say cunt all the time. I'm just like, yeah, you can't be saying no.
We want you to make it back home safely, baby.
Yeah, don't tell this to any of the ladies at the party, okay? We just gonna keep this between us cunts, okay? very late letter based on episode 1208. And this is from Brandon from the Say Something Nice podcast. It says, hey, Rod and Karen, I've been late like hell on writing this letter. Thanks for more or less being buried under a mountain of work. But I did want to say first, in general, that I really enjoy your show and appreciate how the two of you consistently put out shows 5 times a week, and even more for premium listeners, and the love that you show both your audience and other podcasters as well. The thoughts I want to express are primarily related to episode 1208, The World Is Yours, with DJ Ben Amin from The Fran Burrell Show, another podcast I enjoy as well. The conversation turned at one point to blurred culture and how black nerds felt they did or didn't fit in with the larger black culture they may have been surrounded by as a kid. I'll admit that my childhood wasn't the most fun. I got picked on a lot as a kid and didn't have very many good friends until my last year of high school. Other kids accused me of not being black enough because at the time I wasn't deep into the music being played on the radio, and my mother didn't have the money or concern to buy fashionable clothes for my sister and I, so I was picked on for that too. Rod did point out in the show that he evolved from a place of just telling people to get over that situation and not to carry that baggage so deeply forward into adulthood, and I do think it's a thing that each individual may have to deal with on their own time. Friends and community, and sometimes family, can help, but ultimately this is a man versus self conflict. I sought out my own identity based upon things that interested me: history, classic film and TV, old school music, comics, and I did eventually find a place where I fit into blackness on a societal basis. Oh yeah, and I would add to that, like, I feel like that journey has to be individual, as you said, so
right.
I don't feel like telling somebody, because I didn't go through that, so I don't feel like it's my place to tell somebody what they can or should not deal with. And I just want to like get the anti-blackness out of the entire conversation either way, because I think people only see it depending on how they were raised and what they went through. They only see it one way or the other. They either see these fellow black nerds who look down on other black people, mm-hmm. and they talk, you know, they feel judged and they feel like they're talking bad about us, and they feel like they think our blackness is bad. And the other way too, which is that there's a lot of people that have had interactions where they feel like they were black checked.
Yeah.
And now they're wary of interactions with other black people, because it's like, well, I don't want to be told I'm not black enough. I don't want to be go somewhere where I'm resented or looked at differently, you know. And I really feel like no matter how emotional and defensive we all get, and how much people are kind of like hurt by the little kid in them and all the experiences that we all that kid went through to become us, you know, the scars that we walk around with, the open wounds that we still walk around with that never get resolved. The only thing I've ever seen kind of fix that stuff is love, and that whether that means loving yourself, mm-hmm. and accepting yourself and having that kind of confidence where it's like, I know I'm black, and I know there are black people like me, and I know there are black people that even if they're not like me, they love me and they'll accept me for who I am and what I am. And I love those black people back, which to me is the most important part of this, and it's probably the hardest part, which is loving black people back that aren't like you, because mm-hmm. we're really into this like culture now where it's like, you not like me, get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I hate is like anti-blackness. I hate anti-blackness. I hate people that are like discriminating and bigoted. I don't like that, and I don't know if I'll ever get to the point where I can have people like that around me. I don't want to be, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's toxic to me, it's toxic to the environment, it's toxic to in society in general, in my opinion. Not saying people got to be perfect, But you know, you guys know when you around somebody where you're like, it's like when you're around white people that hate black people, but they like you as an individual black person. Eventually it wears on you where you're like, oh, I can't fucking be with this dude. I don't care if he thinks I'm cool or not. Well, I just want to get that shit out of the environment around me. And the only thing I've seen that really kind of fixed that gap between black nerds that kind of, or black people that kind of grew up where they felt ostracized from black society in general, I've only seen loving them fix them, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I've only seen embracing them make them feel wanted. I've only I've only seen having their best interest in mind and wanting them to feel included work. I've never seen anything else work. Admonishing them won't work. It's too close to what they went through. You know what I'm saying? If I look at a grown ass person and start being like, nigga, you hate niggas, don't you? I could tell. I know it's too close to them being told you're not black enough. And that's the first place they're going to go is, well, shit, this is just like when I was a kid and they told me I'm not black enough. So you telling me, you know, like I'm trying, like, anyway, that's my goal. And that's what I try to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not perfect. I'm not. Sometimes I hear shit and I'm just like, man, even though I understand you going through some shit, what you're saying is too fucked up for me to even like interact with you.
Right.
But in general, like my goal is when people are trying to like meet them halfway, because too many of us grew up scarred and we don't need to pass that shit on. We're adults now.
Yes, we are.
And you still see people doing it all the time. So anyway. But even before that, I did have to teach myself that my own personal blackness was, is, and will always be sufficient. And accepting descending into self-hate, and by accepting, he didn't say ACC accepting, but EXE accepting, like, mm-hmm. with the exception of that. Like, I don't want to start hating myself and my blackness, but he's like, there's no right way to be black. I'm sure people find my interest in old ass movies and music weird or whatever, but good for them. I'm still me and I'm still black and it's all good. Yep.
Right. And that's all that matters at the end of the day. You're still black.
Right. It's that unity that I think we have to come to recognize within each other, because everything else is kind of some bullshit. Black, like, it's many quirky black people and shit. And, you know, and I do think if a lot of people are probably growing up with that insecurity because of the head trip that we go through, so you know there's a lot of distrust. You know, like I said, I had to recognize I still had distrust of certain type of black people, where I would be like, okay, this reminds me of one of those black kids from fucking the AG class that, you know, would fucking look at me like something was wrong with me for coming in with my hat flipped to the back and my pants sagging or my fucking cross colors on. And they would look like, why can't you just put on a fucking preppy ass button up and some slacks and fit in like I do, you know? And the thing is, I didn't have that feeling towards them, but eventually as my defense mechanism, I think I developed that type of feeling, like, one of these Poindexter ass niggas, you know, like I'm a nerd too, but now I'm looking at you like this nerd going, let me reject him before he rejects me. And let me, you know, let me walk away from her before she walks away from me. And that's such a bad thing to walk into a situation with, you know, and especially when it happened to you as a kid. Kids don't know no fucking better. Mm-mm. But now you 35 and you still feel that way. There's no excuse for that. So got to work on ourselves. As for everything that happened with Firestarter and the hashtag debate, I really, really appreciate how graceful you both handled the situation and were able to resolve everything with them in a relatively short amount of time. As someone who's still fairly new to podcasting, I'm still getting used to hashtag etiquette. And I'm sure I've made a few missteps, but I appreciate the example you two set in dealing with the situation. I don't want to see anyone fight, so it was really great to see everyone squash the situation, support each other. For sure, dog. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to see it either. Mm-mm. I don't want to be in no fight. So we all on the same page. And yeah, man, you know, sometimes you need that reminder, whether it's harsh or not, man. This shit is still kind of a business. And whether it's on the frontier or not, and it feels like family, you try to keep it that way, you still have to have respect for the fact that, you know, this is business too. And, you know, anything can happen. So you want to protect yourself and you want to make sure you're not overstepping your bounds. going back to the show as a whole, I did want to say that I really appreciate you both for everything that you do. I work a job where podcasts are as important to my daily disposition as, especially on the roughest days. I want to thank you once again for everything you do and for keeping a smile on my face, or at least a neutral expression on even my roughest days. Regards, Brandon from the Say Something Nice podcast. Oh man, thank you, man. And he said something about he'd like to have us on the show as guests. Well, yeah, man.
Email us
again about your schedule and all that stuff, and we'll do something. All right, and that's everybody. Whew. It felt like it was a lot, but we got through that pretty fast, actually. I went 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m., Sunday morning. Early one Sunday morning. Bow, now. The R. Kelly version. So, you know, he was singing about them little kids. All right, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.